guest, Susan Allen, is America's leading marriage and divorce coach and also a relationship and life coach. Welcome.
Thank you, Julie.
How are you?
Great. It's wonderful to be on your show.
Thank you. Now, right off the bat, I have to ask, it seems weird to have a divorce coach. The others sound so positive. I can, you know, a marriage coach, a life coach, but a divorce coach?
Yeah, I can imagine that it may sound as if I'm teaching people how to have some hideous, litigated, miserable, dirty divorce. And in fact, the opposite is true. So I started in the work that I do after my hideous, litigated divorce. Basically had to learn all these skills, put together a group of experts to help me survive and heal, and began about 7 years ago to offer these skills to other people. And then people that were my clients said, oh my God, if I'd only met you earlier, if I'd only met you before I threw my husband out, or if I'd only met you before I left in despair, gee, I bet the same skills that you're teaching me about how to think, listen, speak, and act with compassion would have allowed me to save my marriage. And so I began to do that work as a marriage coach and as a relationship coach.
What do you think is the number one cause of divorce? We have so many. Are we over 50% at this point?
70%.
70%,
and the length of the average American marriage is only 7 years.
Wow.
And second marriages are less successful than first marriages, and third, fourth, fifth, whatever marriages are less successful than first marriages
Just
as well.
Just toss it on the pile.
Yeah, because if they didn't know what they needed to know about themselves before they got married,
right,
and they didn't learn what they needed to learn during the marriage, and if they didn't learn what they needed to learn after the first divorce, then there's, you know, a high probability that they're just not interested in a personal evolution.
Are we just jumping in too early, or why don't we know how to be married?
So there are a number of different causes of divorce. The umbrella for all of it is that if you are not prepared to merge into this deep, intimate, emotional union with your partner, considering his or her needs to be equal in importance to your own, you are already on the verge of divorce, even if you're just getting married this afternoon.
Wow.
So right this minute, in any relationship, you know, you and me, we're on the phone together, doing this interview together. If my needs are not as important to me as your needs, you're going to be aware of it.
Right.
You're going to get the impression that I'm doing this for my own purposes and not cooperating.
Yeah.
And so it's very obvious when we take this to the nth degree in a relationship or ultimately in a marriage, we see why it falls apart so quickly.
And if you take that same concept all the way down to something as simple as sex.
Yes.
It really glows.
Yeah. If you could listen in on most of the conversations I have with clients who have a huge need for sexual satisfaction and sexual intimacy in their relationships, they are always telling me about their perspective, and it takes a long time and a lot of effort for me to calm them down enough that they can begin to imagine what their partner's unmet needs are, which, of course, is why they're basically lousy in bed.
Yeah.
But luckily you and I knew that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You write a column called Ask the Love and Relationship Coach. Mm-hmm. And what are some other questions? You get a lot of sex questions. What other kind of things are people asking?
Well, when people ask about the three major causes of divorce, and, you know, the one is the lack of merging, the other is they don't understand that there are four quadrants of the brain, and each quadrant, when it's activated, has a different way of viewing the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people have more activation in the logical analytical, or in the step-by-step and organized, or in the emotional interpersonal, which is where the passion lives, right. or in the visionary holistic where the spirituality is. So unless you understand your thinking preferences and your husband or wife's thinking preferences, you're unlikely to be able to speak their language. And you're going to interpret them as being wrong, which is where the marriage starts to fall apart.
But that seems so difficult. I mean, it sounds like you're talking advanced psychology to me when you say the quadrants of the brain. And how do I turn that into my everyday life?
Well, I know you well enough to know that you're a passionate woman. You're a very warm and affectionate, connecting person. You know, I've met you a bunch of times, and each time, even the first time I met you, you gave me a big smile. You were very warm. So I know that that's part of who you are.
Right.
I don't know you, you know, I haven't been your friend for 20 years, so I don't know the ins and outs. But I know that it would be important for you to feel this warm connection back again.
Right.
To feel it reciprocated. That tells me a lot about you. And I just spoke with a woman a couple of nights ago, and a very well-known actress, who's married to a guy who's not like that. And it's been difficult from day one. And now today, after more than a decade of marriage, she's getting, you know, really disgusted that her need for passion and affection isn't met.
Right.
Yet, in fact, she knew this the day before the marriage. She picked him because she knew he would be a good father for her children. She felt hopeless that she could get her needs met for a competent, financially solvent, right. decent husband, as well as someone who could meet her needs for passion and excitement. Knowing that they're different people gives her the skills to begin to communicate more successfully with them.
And are they able to come together? Is it hopeless?
It is hopeless to think that you and I are going to become identical.
Right.
Whoever you and I are, we're never going to do that. However, it's never hopeless that you and I can create a more compassionate, cooperative relationship in which I know more about what your needs are, you know more about what my needs are, and together we want to meet more of our needs, even if, you know, whether we're friends, whether one is a parent or a child, whether you're spouses, whether you're any kind of, you know, in any relationship, to meet your own needs. You want to meet more of your partner's needs.
Right.
It always works that way.
So we had the top two reasons, the lack of merging and then learning to speak each other's language. What's the third reason for divorce?
The third reason is that people don't understand that there are seven stages of love. Dependency is stage one, and it moves forward to dependency, need, control, support, intimacy, vulnerability, and then finally, unselfconsciousness, which is unconditional love and acceptance for yourself and your partner, so that there isn't any sense of having to pretend to be somebody different. And of course, because you accept yourself so completely, you're in this beautiful state of now. You're in this translucent state of being and truly on the path of enlightenment. So there is joy and peace in every minute of your life, total self-acceptance and acceptance of your partner and everybody else.
Oh, what a beautiful vision that is.
Mm.
I'm amazed at how many people I see that seem to be stuck in the control, have no idea how to speak to their partner.
Yeah.
And just, like, the rudeness shocks me.
Yeah. And it is so fascinating that anybody can begin to acquire more successful skills in thinking, listening, speaking, and acting. And you know that my success rate in training people is 99% in a reconciliation in a marriage or a relationship if even one partner acquires these skills.
I just read that. That is amazing. So only you don't worry about fixing them.
Right.
Work on yourself and you'll still have a successful marriage.
Yeah, you know, simply because you can't fix them.
Right. So don't
not
bother.
That it's not a good idea. If you could figure out a way to do it, please, you know, call me.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
And when I, you know, I offer this 1 hour free phone session, which I've been offering for years.
That is huge.
Hmm. And it's amazing when I do a session, it can either be with one partner or with both.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the most effective demonstration when I play the part of the partner speaking to this person she says she can't get along with, you know?
Right.
So I'll be the person on the phone with me pretending that I'm in this relationship, and he or she who's desperate will play the part of the husband, the wife, the child, the boss, whatever. And in a few short minutes, I'll show how, without judging and criticizing myself or this other person, I'm able to affect a peaceful conversation about anything.
And that's a free phone call.
Correct. All they have to do is pick up the phone and arrange the session and pick up the phone and call me. The only thing I don't do is I don't call them.
Right.
So they've got to call me. You know, luckily there are telephone credit cards now that are really cheap per minute.
That is
such a...
And
I have clients all over the world.
What an amazing service.
Thank you.
That is really incredible. And so... how to avoid divorce. I see that's another one of your expertise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the most fun one for me.
Yeah? Give me some example. I mean, just like a quick fix. Is there a quick fix? Is there such thing?
Sure. The woman or man who believes that their marital partner is cheating because the partner is an SOB would benefit tremendously from understanding the difference between cause and effect. Okay?
Okay.
So I know this from my own life because I've been in many relationships for all these decades,
yeah,
where the relationship didn't meet my needs for monogamy. And it was obvious to me that something wasn't working.
Right.
And since I had no idea what it was when I was a kid, it looked to me as if they were just, you know, idiots, right?
Yeah.
Easy to make that misinterpretation of what's going on. In fact, truly, either their needs were not met by monogamy in the first place.
Okay.
A lot of people are not monogamous. No, they're not bad. They're not good. They're not right. They're not wrong. They're just
not monogamous.
Yeah, they're not blonde, they're not blue-eyed, whatever it is.
Right.
So understanding that in advance would have, of course, avoided a tremendous amount of the suffering on the planet Earth. Is someone enough like you that he or she enjoys the same kind of marriage that you enjoy?
Makes sense.
Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. Then you move to the next step. Well, what about if the person said he or she was monogamous? Well, under what circumstances did he or she say that? I had a woman say to me recently, well, I said to him I wouldn't sleep with him if he weren't monogamous, and he said he's monogamous.
Yeah, of course I am. Tonight I am.
Thank you. I mean, you know, God bless you, Julie, for being so sophisticated.
I mean...
like, thank God. So I pointed out to her that she was demanding something of him. She wasn't giving him the freedom and the peace to express himself.
Right.
And there was a clear demand in her conversation, since there was an implied punishment that would come. So she was stupefied by this realization and has begun slowly but surely to let go of her judgments of the men that she's dated in her life and begin to have unconditional acceptance for people having different needs than hers.
That's
a huge step for her. Now, what if the person, when he meets her, really is monogamous and really does want to be monogamous? And I said, well, I'm a little confused because it seems to me you had this conversation with him after two or three dates. Who would know if you were the person he wanted to be monogamous with?
Right.
After two or three dates, it's
a little early.
Absurd. Absolutely absurd, yeah. So she began to see the difference between a request and a demand.
Mm-hmm.
So would you be willing to be monogamous if you found that your relationship with me, Bob, was everything you were looking for in a relationship is very different from, I'm not going to sleep with you, basically, if you're not monogamous, Bob.
Okay. Totally different.
Yeah.
Statement.
And the energy is totally different.
Sure.
Then at the same time, a totally different thing is when I surfaced for her that she didn't know what an agreement was. An agreement is not, I have no idea who you are, Linda, but I'm hoping for the best, and therefore I agree to be monogamous with you for the rest of my life. Yikes.
Yeah.
We can see the breakdown in that.
Absolutely.
And then the third thing is her not understanding the distinction between cause and effect. Well, if she's critical, angry, frightened, sad, moody, despairing, terrified that her need for emotional safety won't be met, anorgasmic, won't do this, that, or the other thing in bed.
He is running the other way
exactly.
at this point.
Exactly. So even if he started out hearing monogamy as a request, not a demand, even if he started out understanding that he knew her well enough to make the agreement for that day.
Right.
Her behaviors that the next day and the next month, et cetera, year later, could completely shift their relationship, even if he does absolutely nothing except show up on time, being a
right.
lovely guy.
Because she's so finally she's taking some responsibility.
Precisely.
Good. So do you recommend your session for people that don't have problems that are just starting out in a relationship?
Thank you so much for letting me promote the benefits of pre-relationship work.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know what we screwed up last time around.
Right.
And it's safer for us to talk about last time around when that's already over.
Right.
Than it is often to talk about what's going on today. So pre-relationship work, healing the past, is very powerful. Relationship work, as you begin to surface the conflicts in a new relationship or pick a new relationship.
Right.
Very important. Then, of course, marital coaching when you're already in it. And you, of course, want to learn marital mediation, which is a skill set I invented that uses compassionate communication and the basics of mediation so the couples don't have to be on the verge of a divorce to sit down and talk about the things that are really concerning them.
Well, I would love for you to help, you know, let's give a little example. I just got married.
Yeah.
About 5 months ago. And you had offered your services before we got married, and I just jumped in and went without talking to you. But we have him on the phone, and so I thought maybe we could give a little example of what it would be like if we called you.
Beautiful. I'd love it. Hi.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey there. Hi. I thought it was more like 5 years ago, but let's give it a shot.
5 years? Are you saying 5 months feels like 5 years? Ouch.
Oh, it's been great.
Kelly, this is Susan. Susan, this is Kelly.
Lovely, lovely to speak with you and to meet you. And I remember hearing about what a great guy you were before the marriage.
Well, it's all true. So,
so if either one of you would be willing to briefly describe something that you find challenging in the marriage. So you might start by saying, when my spouse does such and such, or when my spouse doesn't do such and such, just so we all get an idea of what the challenge is. And then I can offer you at least the beginning of some new skills.
Okay, ladies first.
Oh, I was just wondering what you're going to say. The only thing I can think of, and it's not something that he does or doesn't do, it's more situational because I've moved from LA to his hometown,
mm-hmm.
where he knows everybody, and I don't know hardly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so these people that he's had relationships with his whole life, I'm meeting for the first time. And then, they find out that I'm Julie Ashton, and that kind of throws a weird little vibe into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes I'm a little more vulnerable than he likes because of that. And he doesn't, I don't think he understands why, maybe.
Okay, thank you. So let me make sure I've understood.
Uh-huh.
Sounds to me as if moving away from LA, where you have a strong support system and where you feel emotionally safe, that you're not being either thrown in with new people who don't already have affection for you.
Right.
Or also being thrown into a new environment which has different priorities and a different point of view than Los Angeles.
Yep.
That you may feel worried at times that your need for safety, emotional safety, isn't met, or possibly concerned that your need for acceptance and affection isn't met.
Yeah.
And may feel very shy that
yeah.
your need for some intimacy with some, you know, old friends isn't met yet, which even though you understand why this is all happening, it still can trigger you.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, in a situation like this, you have a number of different skill sets that would be helpful. And in the amount of time we have, I could only begin to, you know, teach you one of them. But I want to give you a quick overview, if I may.
Okay. Please.
So one skill set is called self-empathy. So we notice that we feel triggered because of our own feelings and unmet needs and don't in any way imply wrongness on the part of either your husband or the people in your new town. Noticing you feel scared when you do, because your need for safety isn't met, or you feel worried because your mm-hmm. need for affection and acceptance isn't met, or
right.
notice that you feel concerned because your need for friendship isn't met yet.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's all about your triggers, your feelings, your unmet needs.
Right.
And I could teach you that skill set in a session. And again, I'm offering that to you, you know, another time.
Thank you.
And I can teach you that so that you can practice that whenever you feel triggered, and so that you're never going to be defensive, you're never going to be critical of those people, and you're always going to be a much more peaceful, affectionate, and open person.
Right.
Excuse me. In 5 minutes or less, you'll be able to turn it around, no matter what happens. The second skill set would be to notice the story you tell yourself, if you do, about other people in the new town. You might tell yourself a story. Many of us have moved. I moved to California from New York.
Right.
So I had lots of stories I told myself about me and about others when I moved here. And using the skill of the four questions of inquiry, I began to notice the story and notice that the story, in fact, wasn't even true.
Right.
You know, the original story
sure.
for every New Yorker who moves to L.A. is everybody in L.A. is an idiot. You know, and the truth is that people in L.A. have a tendency to be more relaxed, more laid back than the people in New York. It has nothing to do with IQ. It has to do with different priorities.
Right.
Just as people in L.A. are different from the people... Where do you live, can I ask? What town?
Orlando.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the people in Orlando are, A, not on a coast. So we know that people who are L.A., New York people, Paris people, London people, people who are in major cities on a major port tend to be much more open to individuality and
right.
self-expression.
Absolutely.
So I would guess that though I love Orlando, it's a wonderful town and has some tremendous recreational benefits, that it may not meet your need for respect for your self-expression, individuality, sense of fun, sense of adventure. You're a very visionary, adventuresome young woman. And you've lived a life that is very creative. And you may find yourself disappointed from time to time
right.
that all of your needs for acceptance and appreciation aren't met.
Is there any advice for Kelly now that you've heard, and now that he's heard what I had to say, and or but it's really all about me.
Well, if it's if we have our first choice, it's to acquire the skills to calm ourselves down when we feel triggered. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were having a session with Kelly and he said to me, you know, I just got married. I love my wife like crazy. She moved from L.A. to Orlando. She's a very, very popular film star. It's a whole new life for her. And I'm wondering, how can I be supportive of her when she feels upset because she doesn't know people, or she's walking into a party and doesn't know, you know, anybody, or whatever the story is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say to Kelly, let me teach you empathy, which is a totally different skill set. So let's say I'm with Julie and she's walking through the door of a party and there were 50 people there and she doesn't know many of them, and I can see on the look on your face, Julie, that you feel uncomfortable. Then I would immediately know, having really put myself in your shoes, that you'd like some reassurance to know that you are safe and you are loved, and I would put my arm around you. Or I would make sure to hold you by the hand as I introduce you to everybody. And I would make sure to give you that unconditional love and support and intimacy that's so important to you and that you're missing because you've moved thousands of miles away.
And he's really good at that, by the way.
Yeah.
I have to give him props for that.
Yeah. And so that is just empathy, understanding not our own story, but what our partner needs, and being able to give our partner that unconditional love and acceptance and figure out what the partner's needs are.
Right.
You know, different scenarios, different needs.
Sure. Okay, Kelly, your turn.
Let's see. The only thing, I mean, everything is going really well, and we started this whole thing being very open with each other and decided that we always wanted to keep lines of communication open and all that and share things with each other. So we've continued to do that. Pretty much the only thing that gets to me at all is that I work these crazy hours sometimes and just, you know, being away from her, I miss her like I miss her now. She's out in L.A. with you guys. And, you know, I just wish I could be with her more.
So I'm really thrilled to hear this, because this tells me that as well as Julie being the emotional, interpersonal, connecting kind of person, that you are also an emotional, interpersonal, connecting kind of person, which is, of course, why you guys decided to get married. And at least to that, in that component, you're very much alike. So the beauty of it is, you know that whenever you, Kelly, are feeling lonely for Julie, Julie would love to have you connect with her in whatever way is possible.
Yeah, we try to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't hear a problem, but feel free to let me know of a problem, because as I understand it, she's not spending that much time away from Florida these days.
Yeah, I guess the only real problem, well, she did have a birthday recently, and I guess the only real problem we have is she's only had half of her spanking so far, so.
I know. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you didn't forget. Well, it's funny because I wanted to kind of give an example of what it would be like to call you, but we really are good at what we're doing, I think, you know.
Yeah, you obviously told me when we last met, you were dating Kelly,
mm-hmm.
how crazy you were about each other, how wonderful time was that you spent together. I remember it. I was so thrilled to hear it.
Yeah.
And I'm just ecstatic, frankly, to hear how you've gotten married and the love that you feel for each other is just continuing to grow. Now, that doesn't mean that every relationship you have with every person in your life is a breeze.
Right.
And so these skills are skills that you want to bring in to your life as soon as possible, so that after you finish this honeymoon phase of a relationship and you start to see differences in the way you prefer to act, that you'll have the skills to calmly communicate and use marital mediation. Marital mediation is an opportunity to, A, calm ourselves down when we feel triggered, using self-empathy.
Right.
Calming our partner down using empathy. Beginning to clarify what each partner's feelings and unmet needs are around a situation.
Yeah.
For example, if you had to be in LA for a long time,
right,
you wouldn't want to pretend everything was fine. You would want to acknowledge to Kelly that you know this is really upsetting him because he really misses you when you're away and probably feels concerned when you're away for a long time and probably feeling worried because your career, you know, is taking you to LA often, and you guys now live in Florida, and surfacing all of his concerns, whatever they might be, and making sure you've understood, and then asking him if he's willing to understand what your feelings and needs are. And you would talk about your need to communicate with people and to express yourself and to have this ability to, you know, communicate and offer skills and whatever to your audience and stay connected with your audience and make sure that Kelly understands all of your needs. And then ultimately, once you have completely done that and heard one another, the solution will find you in 30 minutes or less if you use compassionate communication skills. And that is any problem, anywhere, even in war-torn tribal scenarios in Africa where they're trained to do this.
Beautiful. Good to know. Kelly, thank you, baby.
You're welcome. I guess I will continue to go save the world now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Superman.
Yay.
All right. Nice to talk to both you guys, and I'll talk to my sweet, lovely wife later, of course.
Yes, baby.
All right. I love
Bye.
You.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Susan. That was awesome.
You're so welcome. As always, it is a great joy. You are my favorite talk show host. You know that, right?
Oh, that is so kind of you to say.
True.
Say it again.
True.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's true. I have more fun doing shows with you than any 10 shows put together.
Oh, you're so... Tell me where people can find you and get a hold of you.
Thank you. The website, which is equal to an 800-page free book, is called thedivorceforum.com, thedivorceforum.com. If they'd like to have a free one-hour telephone session, please send us an email, susanallen@thedivorceforum.com or susanallen@themarriageforum.com. And if they want to just call, our number is 805-695-8405, and it's really a free session. I'm not going to try to sell them anything.
Wow.
A free session in order to offer the benefits that my nonprofit corporation promotes, which is peaceful marriage and, even if necessary, a peaceful divorce.
You know, if you are at your wit's end and you're thinking about walking out, just give yourself a second, make this phone call, and it might change your life.
Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful day.
Yay, you too. I hope I get to talk to you soon.
Me too. Bye.
Bye. Wow. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And I know I did. I learned all kinds of stuff. We'll talk to y'all next time here on Hey Julie.